listener production.
Welcome to the Auntie Donna podcast, powered by the Auntie Donna Club, which is also powered by Patreon. Get more content there. Today's very special guest, a star of movie magic. We'll keep it a secret. Enjoy the episode.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Do you believe they put a man on the moon?
A man on the moon.
Do you believe they put a man on the moon?
A man on the moon.
And welcome to Inside Hollywood on Hollywood, a movie show.
We're here. We're talking about Hollywood with experts in the Hollywood field.
This is huge for us. Who's? I would say Weird Al is the only other guest who's probably as big as this.
Mm. Oh.
But Weird Al was only one person. This is two.
Mm. Bert. Bert Krishna. Krishna.
Yeah, we didn't get him.
No, but... They.
You.
You.
You were Bert. And so in a way, over 100,000 people were Bert.
In that way, that was bigger. Thanks a lot, Mark. You've ruined the hype.
What?
It was better to have 100,000 Bert Kreischers than it was to have these two.
But
guests.
More people have seen, Goodfellas than have listened to our podcast.
Mm.
More people have seen Memento than have listened to our podcast.
And it's a good way to segue because we have today... returning for their second visit to the Auntie Donna podcast. Last time you were away.
Oh, I refused to be here.
You were away by Michael Gow.
And yes, I was.
You missed out on... It was awkward because that day we were joined by one of the great film directors of movies.
Of films. Yeah, like I can't think of a movie director that's done films as good as this one.
Absolutely. You would know them from Killers of the Flower Moon. You would know them from their work as the director of The Last Movie Stars, where he was an executive producer.
Mm.
You would know him from...
Gangs of New York.
You would know them...
Acknowledge Gangs of New York as one of their films,
I won't,
please.
Because
why?
Then they win. The gangs win.
He's right. The gangs do win if we acknowledge it.
You would know them...
Taxi Driver.
Uber's fine.
What do you know any of?
You would know them as the director of The Irishman, the Netflix classic which de-aged some of Australia's favorite
some of Australia's favorite actors, including Robert De Niro,
and one episode of the hit series Vinyl from 2016.
Yes,
please welcome
Marty.
Do you mind if we call you Marty?
Oh, please, bro, then call me Marty. You know, all my mates call me Marty.
Marty Scorsese, thank you for joining us.
Wow, my pleasure to be here. And I would say I'm going to extend a thank you to you guys for saying such lovely things about my work. I'm really proud of a lot of the movies I've made and some of the TV shows I've directed episodes of.
What other than Vinyl, what's another TV show episode you've done that
I directed
you're proud
the pilot
of?
To Boardwalk Empire.
Really?
Starring my friend Steve Buscemi, of course. He worked with me on a short film I made in an anthology of films called New York Stories. I work with my buddies, Francis Ford Coppola.
And his nephew.
His nephew's there too?
No, you worked with his nephew.
Yeah, of course. Nicolas Cage.
In?
Bringing Out the Dead, mate.
There it is.
Bringing Out the Dead.
The ambulance film.
His wife, Patricia Arquette, they were married at the time when we made that. So, steamy set. Very steamy set.
Now, of course, we have joining with us, as well as Martin Scorsese, mm-hmm. a maker of, would you say movies?
Films and movies.
Films and movies.
I would refer to this filmmaker as a dream weaver.
He is, yeah. Yes, yes. Loves, in my opinion, this is my opinion of this filmmaker's movies, but I can't wait to ask them about it. Most films feature the twist, it was me, at the end. And I can
doodle
go
bug?
Through that. Doodle Bug.
Following?
Following, of course, first independent film, made it himself, shot it over weekends, I believe. Yeah.
A year. Doodlebug?
Doodlebug.
They made Doodlebug. That was their short in 97.
Please. I would say someone who grew up with the films of Martin Scorsese, but has now become a contemporary.
Yeah, you know, we both worked at Netflix at the same time.
Did you?
Yeah, I was making The Irishman. You guys were making Big Old House of Fun. Oh, just down the corridor.
No, we're talking about Christopher Nolan.
Oh, no, I thought of you as my contemporary. Christopher Nolan, I think, is a young upstart.
Marty, firstly, we're talking about the Nolan upstart thing.
Mm.
That means so much to me.
Really? Yeah, that's huge.
You know, Marty, I think of you you are my guys. I would love to work adjacent to you guys again.
Really?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Not with. Adjacent to.
Adjacent to, you know, maybe you can, I can produce a movie for you, can executive produce a film for you one day. I would love to be, I love executive producing films.
Really?
Yeah. Name some of the films you've EP'd.
Pieces of Her, that's a lovely movie. Have you seen The Souvenir?
No.
I produced The Souvenir films, yes.
There's more than one?
Well, there's two, The Souvenir Part 1 and Part 2.
Right.
Of course.
Of course, I haven't seen them. I didn't know this.
They're wonderful movies.
What are they about?
About a lady going to film school. She goes to film school. She learns the craft of cinema. And when I saw this in the pitch package that came to me, they sent me a pitch deck.
Email?
I'm going through the deck via email. You know, I'm scared of emails, but someone else read it out to me out loud. Yeah. And I'm looking at it. I'm listening intently and I go, this is interesting. I've shared some of these life experiences of going to film school, learning the craft of cinema. And I could relate to it. And I thought, what is the silver screen but a reflective surface to show your own stories back unto you?
Yeah. So you EP'd it.
So I go, put my EP credit on this one, bucko. We're going to Hollywood. Even though it's a European film, but we're going to put it in Hollywood cinemas too.
Film is important for movies. And
well, without it, where would we be?
Wow.
Without film.
And I think that's...
We would have had to wait until digital. And that was that too long of a wait.
And I'll tell you this, I'm an old man. I did not have the patience for that.
Well, and I know, I don't even want to... Please, can we not bring up the Marvel Cinematic Universe? I can already feel him...
Oh, you hear that? You hear that?
I can already feel things getting crazy. They've been likened to the Lunar Park of cinema.
And I think it's a great place to start with our other guest, someone who reinvented the comic book genre.
Yes.
Oh, Marty, you are mad. Mad Marty.
Mad Marty. Mad Marty Martin.
Please welcome the director of Batman and Doodlebug, Christopher Nolan.
Hello, how are you today? Thank you so much.
So good.
For
and you're wearing
I don't like CGI.
Yes, yeah. No, well, no, I mean, no. use it a little bit.
But when you must.
I don't like
when you must.
I don't like it at all.
Like you took out the poles.
I wear a suit and I don't like CGI.
As is my understanding, you use CGI mostly to get rid of poles.
Yeah, because I don't like CGI. I don't think it's very good and I wear a suit to work.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I must say, you know, we already have a fiery discussion here. I think CGI can be used to extend what I already deeply held within film. Say you've got a wonderful actor, one of Australia's favourites, Robert De Niro. Al Pacino, two of the great actors.
Mr. Pesci.
Joe. I call him Joe. I call him Joe.
I imagine you'd have that kind of working relationship.
We have a certain rapport, Joe and I.
Yeah.
You know, these are some of the elite Italo actors the world has ever birthed. And if you're making a film that is to speak to generations of gangster films, you know, an epitaph for my life and my career, I want my boys in there the whole time. I don't want some young Shia LaBeouf coming in here playing a young version of old Joe, you know? And CGI allowed me the opportunity to work with my friends for a few months without getting little guys in the whole time.
It looked weird.
You could have done that with makeup though, couldn't you? Because I don't like CGI at all.
Yeah. Okay, you could do that with makeup. Yeah. You could do that. What are you going to do? Paint that clown face on him? What is he, a clown? Is he supposed to amuse you? Like Mr. Joker himself, your favourite guy?
Jared Leto.
Yeah, I did Joker in my movie. I don't like CGI and I wear a suit to work.
Yes, you
now,
do.
Well, I'm starting to feel...
And I wear Versace jeans, mate, so...
Yeah, well, I wear a suit to work.
Do you really?
Coat.
Yeah,
Marty, I do. I wear Versace jeans.
Wow.
This is simply a forum for discussion here between two masters of their craft, Mark, Christopher Nolan, who we've learned so far... Who we've learned so far wears a suit to work, doesn't like CGI.
No, I don't care for it at all.
Yeah.
I think why do it on CGI when you can do it in front of the camera?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And how do you, if given the opportunity, Marty,
okay,
would you prefer to do real or would you prefer to be on green screen in the vein of an Avatar where you have full control of the...
Sin City.
Sin City. Well, you know, I grew up on the streets of Sin City, New York. Oh, sure. Many sins were committed. And you don't make up for your sins in the church. You make up for your sins on the streets. As is the adage what? That begins Mean Streets, what? My classic
what?
Film.
What? What?
Did you see that?
I did. I saw it. I saw him work some nonsense into the title of one of his films.
What is Mean Streets about?
Mean Streets tells a story about Charlie.
Pickering?
No, that's the project.
Oh, is it?
And I, what, then the is,
did you direct the project?
I directed the pilot. I directed the pilot.
Really?
For the establishing director. I directed the pilot.
The project. I loved yeah. how...
I'm an EP. I love working for Oving.
Well, I just want to say I loved how the pilot of the project told the news, but a little bit differently. Yeah.
Mm. That's it. You know, I take familiar stories or familiar genres and I apply, you know, my little Scorsese-esque twist to them, if you will, my point of view.
And, what, and Chris, what do you say to that?
I say, I like, one thing I like about the project is there's no CGI. I also like that they're all wearing suits, which is something I do when I go to work.
Now, Chris, on the film, I have two questions for you. Oppenheimer absolutely swept the Oscars.
Yeah,
I
did that explosion for real, CGI.
Well, there was some.
I have two questions for you, Chris.
Yeah, I made a little town.
Chris, I have two questions for you. Firstly, what were you wearing during the shoot?
I wore a suit the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, I came in and everyone said, he'll be wearing tracky dacks. No, I'm wearing a suit.
And then the second thing is, were you using much green screen special effects on
this? No, so what you're thinking of is something called computer generated technology, and that's not something I like to use. I actually did explosions for real and built a little town.
In terms of if you're wearing a suit on set, what's your favourite fabric?
I don't, you know, it's more about, it's a suit.
Linen. It's linen.
Yeah, I know, but I wear a suit.
It usually wears a linen.
Yeah, I wear a suit.
All right, well, I was trying to set you up for something there.
Could I ask Chris, you know?
But certainly not a CGI suit, then I'd be nude.
Yes, you would.
Well, you'd be covered in green.
Yeah, I'd be covered in green nudity. You understand that I don't like that. If you're watching a movie, you're seeing somebody in a CGI suit, you're going, they're actually nude to that person. You understand? I don't like that. It makes me feel rotten.
I'm so certain of two things with you.
Yeah.
One, you don't like CGI, and the other, you wear a suit.
Here's, I love wearing here's a my, suit to work. Yeah.
Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think you've shot a plate in your life.
No, I don't even know what. Well, there's plenty of plates in Oppenheimer.
No, I don't mean actually. Yeah, no, I don't mean when they're having lunch. I don't mean the plates. I mean, you know, when you just shoot the frame for the background without the performers. And
you see how jacked
he is. You put things on
Batman.
Top of it.
You see how jacked.
Well, they almost called him Fat Man. Is that right?
Well, because he had to eat lots of chicken. You think he ate that with? No, he had to have a plate to eat his chicken.
Yes.
He could either have a bag or a bucket. Chicken in America, true. Where I'm from, served in buckets
that's a great
many
point.
Times.
Marty, that's a great
that's
point.
A great
I'd
point.
Like to drill to is what way is Americans eating chicken?
Well, you know, in my family, we eat chicken cacciatore style.
Oh, because you're Italian.
I'm Italian. And my mother, Catherine, was a wonderful cook.
Gosh, and she was in some of your movies. What was your favorite scene that you shot with your mum? And then I want to get to you, Chris, about what you wear on set. Yeah. But first I wanted to know about your favourite scene that you shot with your mum.
Well, you know, I could say Casino, where she's got a fun little cameo. Mm. I could say where she plays my friend Joe's mother in Goodfellas. But my warmest memory of working with my dear old mum, Catherine, was one day we actually did an appearance together on the David Letterman program.
Really?
Yes, you know, because she had written a cookbook called Italian American, sharing our family's recipes. And we did a little cooking segment together with Dave, and that's what I think back on when I think about my dear old mum.
Rest in peace.
Yes. Unfortunately, she did die. Otherwise, she would be 400 years old.
Really?
She would be 400.
Talking about some of these heightened concepts, when we talk about legacy and the power of fathers and mothers and their role in us, that's something I felt quite heavily in your film, Kundun.
Yeah, Kundun, it's actually pronounced.
Oh, I'm
Kundun.
So sorry.
Yeah, it's about the Dalai Lama. Tenzin Gatsu, Dalai Lama.
How much CGI are you having that?
Well, you know, we had this wonderful young actor that we found who would play the Dalai Lama young at the start of his life. And I was like, there's something about this fella. Yeah. This kid has got a spark, a twinkle in his eye that some of the great beloved movie stars have. Mm. And I said, you know what we're going to do? We're gonna keep this kid the whole movie. We got to keep this kid the whole movie.
Really?
Yeah.
The child actor who plays the child Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That famous scene where he runs out into and sees a field of people bowing or praying or...
Yeah, something like that.
Well,
is that the direction you gave me that shot?
I say, guys, I need you to do one of two things: bow, pray, whatever you feel you're doing. You know, I'm a collaborator. You know,
so with 1,000 actors,
actors. I'm like, I got my big old horn out. I got a big old horn. It's like a conical shape, and I'm holding out. Okay, gang, here's the directions. I want you to either pray or bow, whatever your heart feels in the moment when you see this young fella pop up, you're going to be moved by it. So embrace that feeling. Embrace that feeling. And lo and behold, once I said action, I felt something. Wow. The emotion of those 1,000 or so people.
You can't beat that, can you? They do that with CGI now, you know.
They would do that with
crowds. Chris, just let it go.
No, but they would. Yeah, they'd get 4 or 5 people, they'd have them bow, and then they'd put the rest in with computers, you know.
Well, yeah, and you have used quite a lot of CG in your, Batman Begins, for example.
Yeah, you're probably, fuck you.
What?
Wow.
Okay, all right, there's no need. I'm just saying that you use it as a tool, which I think is fine. Because
I've never used CGI in my entire life.
You have.
No, I've never used
it. You have the Ra's al Ghul's sort of fortress.
We built that, for real. Minutes.
You didn't. There's lot of shots of Gotham that are full CGI.
I don't remember that.
The bats. Full CGI in Batman. You probably got one as a reference for the CGI.
Just let it go.
Well, I'm getting to something here. Mm-hmm. Because in Batman, especially in the first one, you use quite a lot of CGI. Batman wears a cape and a cowl. Now, the cape element in your film, something you're quite afraid of, is that correct?
Yeah, it's interesting that you've brought us together today because I don't know what you're talking about. Why are you talking about freaking roller coasters
cape
in my presence?
Cape fear.
Cape fear, I made it. But I'm talking about the power of cinema right now.
He doesn't like Marvel movies.
I know, but I was just trying to do it.
I don't like Marvel movies either.
Well, what is the distinction between what you're saying?
They let me do quite a bit. I said, I don't want any CGI. And they were like, all right. I said, I want to wear a suit to work. You know,
there's quite a lot.
I'm going to hold you to that.
The whole train system.
Oh, were you there, were you?
No, but I've watched behind-the-scenes. I took a day off in year 12 to go and watch this.
Mark, this is Christopher Nolan.
I'm aware. And the cunt doesn't even know when he has or hasn't used CG in his
film. It doesn't matter. This is Christopher Nolan telling you he didn't. So two things can happen. You can let it go or he's going to fucking throw a punch.
Well, I don't want to get hit by Christopher Nolan, one of my favorite filmmakers growing up.
Mm. I couldn't even hit you that hard. I'm wearing a suit. You know, if I was wearing
you see how he used that character character.
You know, if I was wearing a gym shirt, I could hit you hard. My shoulders would move good, but I can't because I'm wearing a big fluffy suit. Mm.
And he would hit you real.
You think he would hit me real?
He knows.
In the mean streets of London, it's not unlike New York. Mm. You know, I grew up in the mean streets of London.
Wow.
I spent some time in America, but most of the mean streets of London. And
you
think,
are
you CGI there?
You from money?
Surely.
Well, not CGI money, that's for sure.
not that much. Have you seen Following?
Is crypto CGI money?
It's all computers and everything. You know, cameras now, they've got little computers inside them.
How do you feel about that?
I don't like that, no.
Martin...
Yes.
If you had to make a superhero film, and I know you're against them,
In some ways, Aviator is the story of a superhero.
Well, it is a man who can fly. It's a man who can fly.
And the power to woo many a dame.
Mm, and that's one of the greatest powers of
Tony Stark, one of the greatest wooers of women, sleeps with many women and then is quite rude to them afterwards in the morning.
Yeah, but
who's
loves
this now?
Pardon?
Sorry, who's who?
Tony Stark, played by...
Who that?
Really, you're that disconnected
that?
From it?
Don't know who this is. Is he some sort of pop and rock star?
No, he's a... Well, I guess he's a fictional character in the Marvel comic books and cinematic universe.
I see you wince there.
Yeah, I just...
I think it's all right to talk about them. Like, they do exist.
Why do you wince?
Okay, because... Okay, this is the thing. the children today are having their minds turned to mush by these films. They, I'm using the word film, and I to hear it come out of my mouth in regards to these, it sickens me to my beautiful core.
Mm.
And I'm hearing this.
Your 35 millimeter core.
My 35 mil core. Within me, I've got melted celluloid coursing through my veins. Mm. And it hardens up when I see these films.
Mm. Why?
Because I worry that these films are going into the cinemas. And I'm saying, hey, let me in. I got Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm trying to put my movie on a big screen too.
Mm. Yeah. And two sessions a day.
I want, and they're saying, oh, your movie's too long. Excuse me, Quantumaniacs? That's like 7 hours long. That's a really long movie as well.
Yeah. Ant-Man Quantumania.
Yeah, it is unfathomable to go to one side and go, oh, yeah, this is valuable in here. What do you go? Oh, Bill Murray does a cameo in the fucking little Ghostbusters world? Oh, that's exciting for you to see. Oh, wow, what's happening here? Michael Douglas has to sit in a freaking cockpit of an Ant-Man head? Oh, wow, that's so valuable. And what am I doing? I'm telling real stories about real people.
And you know they didn't even shrink down for that.
They didn't shrink him down.
No, they didn't even shrink him down.
There was one thing I loved. There was, I will admit this, they got Michael Douglas in one of those scenes. They made him look real young again. And I thought that was interesting.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're
that
right.
That was interesting. I like that.
Mike,
I like that.
You touched on something about long films.
Yes, yes.
Do you think a film can be under 4 hours?
Burden. That's very interesting that you say that. The way you say that is to insinuate that. I am not a fan of making shorter films.
That's right. That's what I am asking, yes.
Okay,
yeah, will you ever make like a 90-minute sort of easily digestible...
Enjoyable.
A movie that I'm like, yeah, I will go and see that.
Well, right now I'm kicking off production on a film that I've promised is 80 minutes long. And it's about one of my heroes, the great superheroes, if you will. If that's going to get you into the cinema, it's about Jesus Christ. A man that had many powers.
Really?
Yes.
You're really making
another Jesus Christ
movie? I love that
film. Didn't you already do one?
I made one, yes, of course, The Last Temptation of Christ with Willem Dafoe. Or as you might know him, Green Gogglers.
I mean,
if that's the only way you can understand who I'm talking about.
I'm not saying that the only movies I like are superhero movies with green goggles and, you know, any of the other characters.
Yeah, they don't even wear clothes in them anymore.
Well, they wear some. They wear some clothes.
In their time travel one, they went back in time nude, and then they put the clothes on them.
They're not
computers.
Naked on set. They're wearing a onesie.
They're completely nude, and they paint their willies green.
You seem to be obsessive and crazed about the CG.
Yeah, well, they used to go. They go back in time. If I did it, I'd go back in time for real. But they just paint their nude bodies green and put on fake costumes with computers. And I don't care for it.
You've got more Cockney as time
has come on.
I think when you get passionate about your non-use and complete misunderstanding of CGI, you get back to that sort of that Cockney upbringing that you and your brother Jonathan had.
He's got an American accent. That one.
Yeah, he didn't hold on to it quite as much.
I said to them, can we blow up a real bomb? And they said, all right, that's how I did it.
But little ones.
little ones.
Bombs. Yeah, but I made a little tower.
I mean, even the special effects supervisor said to say that there's no special effects and say there's all practical effects in Oppenheimer would be a lie.
Well, there wasn't, though. And you calling me a liar?
No, because I know there's
Careful,
certain
Mark.
Things. I'm not, because I know there's certain Mark. Things, like when Oppenheimer's in the bed and he's... Seeing
That's
the particles.
Real.
I know that was you with a stick
yeah, it was.
Going like
that.
This.
But then also even all that beautiful lights and things.
Oh, yeah, lots of practical effects, some CGI.
There was even one scene in the towards the end of the movie where he was sitting in an office, right, where he's sitting in the office and they're quizzing him about
stuff. This is Oppenheimer.
Right? Mm. And we had him nude because we hadn't decided what costume he was going to wear. Right.
Yeah, that's with Florence Pugh.
No, it was, he was in, he was sitting in the office while they're quizzing him and we didn't decide what he was going to wear. So we had him nude and then they were like, now we got to decide what suit to put him on. I said, no, he was nude on the day. He's going to stay nude there.
That's true.
That wasn't sort of a thing where he was feeling so vulnerable?
They just rooted,
that,
I think.
That you sort of made that. No, he's not talking about the fuck scene. He's talking about the scene where he's being interviewed, and then there's a part where they bring up the affair and he feels so vulnerable that he is then naked. But that's not.
Because in that other scene with the two, they're both naked, I thought, because they just rooted.
She was meant to be wearing a bikini and they wanted to put it in with CGI. I said, no, we didn't do it on the day.
Wow.
Martin.
I just wanted to ask Marty a very quick question.
Of course,
please, while we have you.
While you have a chance, you know.
IMDb. You are familiar with IMDb?
Yes, of course. Yes.
I believe last time you may have even said you are.
IMDb. That's true.
That's quite clever, that.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's one of my prouder moments.
According to your biography on this website.
Yes.
You have four productions upcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Two TV, one An Afternoon with SCTV.
Oh, yes, of course. That's, you guys would be quite interested in. Your sketch performers, right?
Yeah.
That is your trade. That is your custom. So SCTV, it was a Canadian sketch show starring a buddy of mine, Rick Moranis, back in the day, and a sweet fella. I hope you've got a sweet tooth because we got John Candy.
Okay, and then also you're directing a film about the President Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah, Rosie.
Is it going to be called Roosevelt?
No, it's going to be called Rosie.
Rosie?
Yeah, Rosie, because that's his nickname.
Really?
And Americans call him Rosie.
And then Gangs of New York, the TV series.
Oh, yeah.
Will you direct the pilot?
I love directing pilots. I made The Aviator, after all.
The Aviator.
And then The Wager, A Tale of Shipwreck, Mutiny, and Murder. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Oh, you know, some of these documentaries, I'm just attached. I don't really have to do much of them. I've got a co-director that does most of the work, and I just put my name on it.
Yeah.
Do a couple of interviews, pop up a little bit, maybe direct the Rolling Stones, singing a couple of songs.
Yeah. Well, because you are, as in my understanding, the oldest man in the world.
Oh, I'm up there. I'm certainly up there.
How many more films do you think you have in you?
Well, I feel the sands escaping the top part of the hourglass every day. And all I can do is persevere and keep making movies. After all, it's my greatest joy in life is to sit on a fold-out chair with some wooden slats and a canvas in between them, holding my little Italian butt up as I watch what's happening on a soundstage and direct some of the greatest actors that Australia's ever embraced as movie stars from overseas.
Have you said? I'd love to get a little bit of an idea Marty thinks of the films of Christopher Nolan and what Christopher Nolan thinks of the films of Marty Scorsese.
Well, you know, why don't we go through? Why don't you name some of his films and I'll go each one.
Sure,
I'll go Rotten or Fresh
I love that. You love Rotten Tomatoes.
I love
Rotten
Tomatoes.
Yeah, you go on. It tells you what all the critics have said, but it does it up as one number.
It tells you unequivocally whether the film is good or bad.
Yeah. It's combined. The critic scores combined, and if it passes the threshold of 60%. That would be considered fresh. But if you make something where the critics, if their scores combined, only add up to 59% or lower, unfortunately, you got a green Rotten Tomato on
your
hands.
I love it. It's like throwing Rotten Tomatoes at you know.
Do you hold the audience score or the critic score in higher esteem? I'm going to throw this one to Christopher first.
What was that there?
What score do you hold on Rotten Tomatoes?
Sorry, I was just thinking about all that CGI in movies now.
So Batman Begins.
No, that didn't have any. I'll tell you what does though. You're talking about all those Marvel movies. They got heaps of CGI in them.
Yeah, they're certainly true.
It looks like people floating around in CGI mush.
To be fair, you had less in subsequent films.
Mm. Yeah, I don't do it at all.
Broden?
Yes?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm just looking at your biography, Christopher
Nolan.
The films you've done, so zeitgeist, so definitive of it.
I'll tell you what I wore on the set of every movie.
What?
You tell me a movie, I'll tell you what I wore.
I'm going to guess suit.
That is what I'm going to say.
Prestige.
Yeah. I wore a suit on that.
Batman Begins.
I wore a suit there.
Insomnia.
When I came to set of Insomnia, I wore a suit.
Dark Knight.
I wore a suit.
Inception.
On that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wore a suit, I think.
Marty.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on
on Christopher Nolan's film Inception, starring one of your best friends, Leonardo DiCaprio, a muse of yours.
My muse. I love him. What a hunk, huh?
Yeah, I think
he's a hunk.
He learns all his lines.
Oh, gosh, it certainly
does. Most actors do.
No, usually you have to CGI their mouths, and I refuse to do that.
He's a one in a million talent and a stud. And I tell you what, he is one of my secret weapons, I would say.
Yeah. Can I ask you an ancillary off that?
Of course, ancillaries are my favorite style of question.
The film The Departed.
Yes.
A large amount of the characters pass away during the narrative of the film.
I actually say they get gutted like fish. They get murdered.
100%.
They get shot in the head and other parts of the body that relinquishes life from them.
My question is regarding that.
Yeah.
The film is called The Departed, and it occurred to me potentially why The Departed might have double meanings.
Yes, yes, yes.
Why is it called that?
Well, it's called The Departed because, you know, you have seen through some of my, you know, the gauze that hides a lot of the themes in my films. You know, the themes can be quite deep to the passive viewer, you know, someone who might have had their brain turned to mush by superhero Marvel pictures. They might not be able to detect the themes in there, even though they right there in the title. So that title does come from a couple of things. I would say, one, there are characters that leave scenes every now and then, and they go, well, they depart. I write that in script. So I write that down. I go, Martin Sheen's character.
You don't write the character's name?
Oh, no, I say his character. I write the name the first time, and I go, well, just to remember who's going to be on set on what day. And then I just start using the name of the actor from then forth in the script. So I go, he departs his scene. And then later on, I'll go, well, Martin Sheen's character, he departs for good when he slams into the ground from a tall building that he's tossed off the
turns
top
into
of.
Mush.
That scene he on top of the mush. Roof. That scene on top of the roof. Was you really on top of the roof?
Oh,
there?
We were there. We were on top of the roof.
They wouldn't do that now, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, I'll admit it was a roof in New York, and we put some Bostonian buildings in the background using, you know, a digital matte painting.
No.
Chris, let me go.
Chris, let me tell you this. It enhances it because if we were to use your filming techniques, you'll be like, okay, a lot of this movie is set in Boston and we're hanging out on top of this building. We're shooting this in New York, by the way, right now. And you're going, wow, Boston, hang on a sec. Did they fly a copter? I can see the freaking Statue of Liberty in the background, that big old beautiful blue lady that welcomes the migrants in, like my family, to New York. And you'll be confused. But this is a Boston set movie. And there's another little thing in there, Broden, that I don't know if you would have noticed. A lot of this movie is about people that are duplicitous. They're duplicitous with each other.
They act one way, but sometimes behave the antithesis of you.
Yes, you know, like a certain creature. A creature that is sniveling. A creature that is scurrying. A creature that is a rodent-like. I'm talking the rat.
There is a rat in the movie! There's a rat in the movie!
Is there a rat in the movie. There are several rats in the movie, in my opinion. Several rats in the movie.
So not just the rodent rat.
There's a rat at the end.
Yeah.
There's a rat at the end.
Yes.
And
yes.
I would say if you look at the words The Departed a little closely, you may notice there are some common letters.
D, E, P,
rat.
E,
D,
P, A, R.
A?
A, T,
R.
R.
You had a few of them there. Just say it again slowly if you want.
D, 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 E, P, D, E, D, E, P, A.
So you go T-H-E, that's the, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep one of those letters in mind.
A,
right.
A.
Yes?
A.
Yes, yes, yes.
A.
Mm-hmm. Keep that in mind. That's one of the letters I'm talking about.
Because I'm thinking,
I think it's rat. I think it's rat.
Well, I was even thinking, rat.
R-A-T.
The rat.
The rat.
That's so fascinating.
You know they'd CG that rat now, if they made it now.
Can we put this video on YouTube and just say, Martin Scorsese reveals new message in The Departed. I think it should be called that. I had a question for you. Similarly, I want to know a little
bit.
Yes.
I'm Christopher Nolan.
You made a film called Inception, which is about dreams layered with other dreams.
Yeah, I did
layered
that with
other
dreams. Suit.
But there's famously, at the end, a totem, which lets the character know if they're awake or asleep. And you famously hold on Leonardo DiCaprio's character.
It's a dream. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's still in his dream. Oh. Yeah.
So it does fall over.
No, it's still dreaming.
Oh, no, it stays no, it up.
It goes up, and then it stays up, yeah. Oh. I always meant for it to be a dream, but then it didn't fall. Then it went to fall.
I was talking to Leo about this.
Well, I thought it would have wanted it to keep spinning, and they said, you know, we can just keep it spinning with CG. And I said, no.
Right.
We'll just cut it when it goes wobbly.
I was talking to Leo about this, and he did say it did fall eventually. So I guess that must be it's real.
No, but
you both worked with Leo.
Yeah.
I know Leo. And they would CG him now.
Oh, we might.
Yeah, you might.
We
do
might
that.
Do it one day.
Yeah,
we might because I look at the young Leo. I miss that guy.
Oh, that little twink. That sexy little twink.
You know, all those days back ago when Gilbert I'm working Grape. On Gangs of New York,
Basketball Diaries.
Basketball Diaries. They're all great movies. I've seen every single one of them. Gilbert Grape.
And on that note, that concludes our time with these two.
Titans of Hollywood.
I was going to say, it's lovely to see you again,
yeah,
Marty.
Great to see you. We've been on the award circuit together,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm going to be talking to you about Killers of the Flower Moon at the Directors Guild screening next week.
Wonderful.
So I'll see you there again.
I'll be there.
Did you like job with that film,
just quickly,
by the way.
Yeah, did you like Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan?
Well, I'm pretty sure there was hardly any CG in it. Is that right?
Were very, you just, very little.
Yeah, you
very,
built,
very
built that just, town for real and
very,
you got
very little.
Real actors and everything.
Lots of real actors.
Have you seen that one with the, you know, the one with the Ben Affleck in it? Have you seen that one with Ben Affleck in it?
And Air?
No, it's like Gaia. There's a thing in the middle of the world and it goes all funny. And there's New New York and it's Final Fantasy, Spirits Within. You seen that one?
Ben Affleck's in that.
Yeah.
You see no, that I haven't
one.
Seen
that's,
it.
That's
why?
The complete CG film.
Yeah, didn't like that one.
No, it doesn't surprise me.
Just
yeah,
a
so do you not like animated films at all? Because they're all... I would say maybe if you are IMBD, maybe you're CG I am not.
No, I'm not a fan of CGI. And I wear a suit to work.
Chris, just a note, if you're doing something like this again next week...
Yeah. Mm.
I reckon just expand out to more information about yourself and your creative process.
I think there's a lot there, but you
because
can dig
I'm not mad, but this has been a bit hard with you only saying two character traits.
I said lots of things. I said my opinions on different films. I said what I wore on every single film I was in.
But that tended to be the same sort of dead end. Suit, no CG.
Yeah, Marty talked about heaps of stuff.
Mm. Yeah, I love
several
Marty.
Different films, several different actors.
Well, he's a personality as much of as he's a director, you know? He's a film archivist, he's an actor, you know. All I do is I make my little movies, no CG.
They make about $1 billion.
Yeah, but it's a little movie.
What do you
know?
Wear when you shoot them?
Well, I wear. See, I think what you're trying to set up there, because we're towards the end of the podcast, you want me to say, oh, just wear a t-shirt and shorts. Nope.
No, because it's
that
like
was
you're
not
going
my
to work.
No, I'm not giving you that punchline. No,
never.
Sir.
I wear a jeans. Suit.
Mm-hmm. You wear a
Versace
suit.
Jeans. I wear Versace jeans, yeah.
That's
and
so
I've
cool.
got big old glasses and my eyebrows just popping out the top of them.
Yes, they are.
I remember when you played that little CG fish.
Oh, yes, of course. That's my finest role in the movie Shark Tale, working with some of my dear friends, Robert De Niro.
Well, what did you think of Hugo?
You know, I didn't. Oh, Hugo, yeah, that's good. But you see him play the little CG fish. That was fun.
So you did like that?
You know, I didn't know it was CG at first. I thought he was really playing a fish.
That's the power of cinema.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the seat, you can be swept up to another world.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on Milo and Otis?
Me? On that one? That was good. They got a real cat and a real dog. Yeah. I didn't like that. But I didn't mind him as a CG fish. So there you go. You got me on that one. I didn't mind him as a CG fish.
Martin, just before we leave, what were your thoughts on Christopher's latest film offering to the world, Oppenheimer?
Chris, I'll be honest, I think it's a wonderful picture. It's a wonderful picture what you were able to do there. I think there's one, if I could do one thing, if, you know, I were to direct this, because I know in the past we've had our grievances. After all, when I was making The Aviator, you said you had wanted to make a same kind of movie about Howard.
Yeah, I would have done it with real aeroplanes.
Well, we did the aeroplanes too.
Oh, nice. Yeah, good
but
job.
But they weren't flying in this air. We had them on a set and we just filmed inside them.
I think his criticism of your film, I just need you to brace yourself for.
Yeah.
That's, I'm just marking.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No,
I would say there's one thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, this Killian fella, wonderful actor. But I would say this, you've worked with some of your favorites, some of your dearest friends. Michael Caine.
Oh, I love Michael Caine. Yeah.
Why not put Michael Caine in the lead role?
Oh, he's too old, isn't
he? Yeah, here we go.
I see what you've done there.
You catch my drift, huh?
You're quite clever there, because he was too old for me, but maybe not, eh?
I'm saying that there is a way to cast your best mates, your favourite actors, for the whole movie.
Wouldn't you have to get body doubles when they kick people in cars and stuff?
No, that's the beauty of it. You don't have to. You don't have to do that. No, a lot of people were saying, like, even to get scenes of Jimmy Hoffa, who never even reached any of the age that Al Pacino has been during the verge of this movie that I've made, even sometimes he's getting out of a chair and he goes, oh, he's looking a bit geriatric. Go, Al, do it a couple more times, get younger each time, Al, and we'll get there. We'll get there.
Wow.
Just to close this out, your thoughts on Al Pacino's coffee ad.
Oh, gosh. You know, it was so interesting. When I gave Al Pacino, who I know you've worked with, insomnia as well.
Mm, yeah, he couldn't sleep in that one.
Well, you know, I have a theory as to why he couldn't sleep.
Loves coffee.
He absolutely loves caffeine and coffee. And it was so interesting. I remember there was a day on set when I was on set of The Irishman. I'm like, there's a loose script on the table here. Someone has left their script here.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, it doesn't have a name on it. Whose script could it be? And I'm going through the pages. And I'm noticing a thing on every few pages. There's coffee stains on it. Mm. I said, you know a Pacino script. A Pacino script has coffee stains on it.
Is that why you call him Cappuccino?
That's why I call him Cappuccino and his best friend Cappa Joe. Joe Pesci on there.
Have you seen that ad? It's so funny. You know a Pacino script because it's got the coffee stains
on it.
What do you think of that ad?
Oh, I've not seen it, but I will tell you, insomnia was originally about a man that got a good night's rest at the end of every night, and then he solved the crime real quick.
Well, it is a remake of an older film.
Yeah, but that one was about insomnia. This one was going to be, what if that man got a good night's rest every night?
But then you cast the wrong guy for that.
I cast the wrong guy, and he looked so tired, I said, we have to refit this.
Caffeine freak.
So we just CG'd in some daytime.
Well, where can people see your movies?
Oh, for me? Tragically, you can watch them on Apple Movies. Apple Movies. We had a limited run in the cinema, but now it's available on Apple.
Great.
I would say get mine on the Blu-ray, you know, because I got to pick all the colours and stuff.
What's the one you...
You picked every colour in that film?
I got to pick the colours. They don't let me pick the colours for the Netflix.
What's that fucked nerd company you guys love with the DVDs and then people go in the little room and look at them?
Oh, we both have movies in the Criterion Collection.
Yeah.
Of course, you have got... The Following is in there.
Yeah.
Following is in there. I've got The Last Temptation of Christ is in there. The Irishman has a lovely disc presentation in there. After Hours just released, and a few of my short films as well. Well, and I've collaborated with them on the Martin Scorsese World Cinema Project, where I release volumes of films that have been hard to find, but I've painstakingly restored with my hand.
Well,
movies such as Trances, right. Tuki Buki are in there.
You can find out more about the Criterion Collection at criterion.com. Head there. There is currently...
Tuki Buki?
Tuki Buki. It's a Senegalese film.
Should we maybe mention Alexi Toliopoulos' new podcast?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Alexi, our friend...
He got us. Well, he's our friend too. He's a mutual friend of all of us.
Well, that guy's a friend of cinema. He's a friend of us all.
He got me on here. And he got you on here as well.
Yeah,
what
he
is
links
he
it up?
He's doing a new podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's a new podcast. Allow me to just lift the veil for a second. Guys, it's me, Alexi Toliopoulos.
Right.
Well,
I've
reprised my role. And it was really hard to stay in character because I am a big fan of Christopher Nolan. I am quite starstruck to be in his presence.
Yeah, no worries about that at all.
Is
there cinema music under the Alexi pulls the veil off?
I can find... I don't know how well this will suit the vibe.
Well, just chuck it in. Because what I'll say right now...
You're still Nolan.
Yeah, because I am Nolan.
Yeah, great filmmaker.
What I got to say right now, third detail about me, what's happening right now is a twist, eh?
It was me the whole time.
I love a twist.
This is very appropriate.
This is like when the politician was nasty at the end of Oppenheimer.
This is like a little bit of Fellini-esque music, you know? Nino Rota is playing those keys, fiddling away at that little harp or whatever that twinkling sound is. I'm not a music guy. I love movies.
You flew from Sydney here, got in a vehicle.
Yes.
Uber.
Came straight here.
Absolutely. I came straight here. I was like, I want to hang out with my buddies. I'm going to get to meet Chris.
Yeah.
Which is me. I'm Christopher Nolan.
What's your new show?
I've got a new show. It is called The Last Video Store. And what it is a podcast about the films that we love. Guests will come on and they'll tell me about a few movies that they love, a new release, and a few older films, and it's presented to you in the style of a rental combo like you would get back in the day.
Oh, at $7 for $7.
And then what will happen
seven
from there?
Seven weeklies for $7.
I will give you a bespoke, personalised... Now I can hear again. Now that the music has stopped playing. Now, oh, no.
The music's back.
The music's back. But then I will give a bespoke, customised recommendation based on the guest taste, based on the guest
picks. Oh, that's wonderful.
Picks. So we've got Cameron James, will you believe it's going to be
on? Wow, he's a friend of
yours. We've got Luke Bracey, Hollywood hunk from Hacksaw Ridge and many other movies. And Polly Bennett, who is the choreographer for Saltburn, Elvis, and Bohemian Rhapsody.
Wow.
And maybe even a Zachary Ruane.
Oh.
And Chris, you would love that fella.
If he wears a suit to work, he's all right by me.
Alexi, our audience love you, and we're very, I'm sure they're going to be wrapped at your back.
It's a pleasure to be back.
As you adjust the headphones on your ear. That's
pleasure to be back.
We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
See you next week.
You've been listening to the Auntie Donna podcast. Thanks for joining us for another RIP episode brought to you by AuntieDonnaClub.com. See you next week. Listener.